want to mention that every few weeks, once I get it up on a Google Drive, I guess it is, if you would like any of the copies of the PowerPoint projection without the lesson included, like there is online right now where you have to listen to me going through it, there'll be just the PowerPoint where you can go back and catch any of the quotations or things that you might like for your own study or for maybe using with somebody else and teaching. So I will do that, and then I'll update it every couple weeks so it's current to what we have, and I want to make that available. It's just it's been useful for me to have that available, and it might be also for you. All right, as we start out this morning, creation evidences. This scripture is going to be applicable here in just a bit, because we're going to be looking at our bodies and what God has created, part of the evidence to show that He did make this world and everything in it. But Psalm 139, verse 13, beginning, "For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." And it should, because it should be obvious. In fact, we talked last week as we review a little bit, what kind of a degree does it take? A competition back there. What kind of a degree does it take to be able to figure out that God made this world? Like a PhD in molecular biology, does it require that? Not at all. High school diploma, you got to have one of those, right? Grade school. Did you have to finish grade school to be what does it take to be able to figure out that God made this world and everything in it? Don?
A rational mind.
Yes. Or as we talked about it, common sense. All right. Let me see. Click on this. It should be clicking in. And there we go. Common sense. That's it. Common sense is a kind of sense that should be common to everyone. And really, it's when we start forming opinions or judgments contrary to what's really something that's rational thinking, then we've got other motives that involve very often. Or we're persuaded by people maybe that we respect that follow a certain path, and we're not using our common sense. That's all it really takes. And so as we looked last week, we see that the reason why we look around and make the decision just so easily that, you know, some powerful being, we don't know his name because that's something you have to find in the Bible, must have created all this. And the first reason we looked at is because it looks like it was designed. It's very obvious as you look around. The things are so amazingly, wonderfully complex that it must be something that didn't happen by chance. How could that happen? We don't see those kinds of things. We don't see complex mechanisms and things falling together by a chance. It just doesn't happen. So we use an example about if you were to fly around South Dakota and see these beautiful rock formations that, you know, just by common sense were formed naturally. Wind and rain and ice and these kinds of things weather these rocks over time. And they're beautiful, but it's just something that, you know, is typical for that kind of a scenery. But when you came up to this rock formation, you wouldn't make that same judgment. And again, you don't need a degree to figure it out. Wherever you're from, whether you're from this country and know what the name of this particular rock formation is, or whether you're from another country, or whether you're from a different planet, if you stood in front of this, you would know right off the bat. Common sense would tell you this is something that didn't happen by accident. Okay, and you'd be right, obviously. We know that. Nobody would make a decision any other way. It looks like it was created. Couldn't happen by chance. And the same thing we talked about with walking along a seascape. Got the chance to spend a few days at the ocean. I'll throw that out there this last week. What makes it wonderful is I had four grandkids with me, and with us, I should say. And so we enjoyed the ocean, and you see all sorts of different things on the shore, shells and rocks and all sorts of different things. But if we walked up to something like this, we would know, just without even thinking about it, that it didn't happen with the waves just lapping up on the shore. Someone put it there. someone intended to give us a message here, and we'd be right. And common sense is all we need. It looks like it was designed. And if there's no other ulterior motives, then we should conclude that it was designed. And so is the case with life on this planet, and especially with man and woman. It looks like it was designed. And I got to read these quotes again that we read last week, just a few of them, because they are just tremendously impactful. From people who don't believe in God and believe that it all happened by chance through evolution, look at what they say. It betrays the inner intentions of their thinking. Here we've got Richard Dawkins, who says, "Biology is a study of complicated things that give the appearance of having been designed for a purpose." He's saying exactly what we're saying. It looks like it was designed. Now, he says, "I don't believe it is because I don't believe in God, and I believe it happened by some other particular procedure that we've looked at the evidence that shows it couldn't have evolved." There's no evidence for that. But that's what he said. It looks like it was designed. He goes on and says, "The feature of living matter that most demands explanation is that it's almost unimaginably complicated in directions that convey a powerful illusion of deliberate design." Why should it be an illusion? Well, of course, it's not. It's actually what happened. It was designed. It was intended. It was purposely brought into existence, all the things that we see. And then we looked at Francis Crick, this famous DNA discoverer, Nobel Prize laureate, Salk Institute member. He says, "Biologists must constantly keep in mind that what they see was not designed, but rather evolved." Why must they keep that in mind? When the evidence basically says, was screaming out loud voice, adult common sense tells you it was designed. There's an ulterior motive here. That's why we must keep in mind, these biologists, that it wasn't designed. Same fella, "An honest man armed with all the knowledge available to us now can only state that in some sense, the origin of life appears at the moment to be almost a miracle." Well, we go along, Christians go along further and say, look, common sense tells us that it is a miracle. It couldn't happen by chance. The living things in the universe just scream out and say, look, God made me. That's the only possibility. And then Michael Ruse, an evolutionist, influential fella, "Indirected thinking is appropriate in biology because, and only because, organisms seem as if they were manufactured, as if they had been created by intelligence and put to work. That's what it looks like. And we've got to go against all common sense if we're going to come up with a different idea like evolution." Okay. It's like people would stand around and look at these things and say, there's got to be another way than by... That these came into existence by chance, and figure this out, and have universities built around the whole idea that Mount Rushmore is a fluke of nature, and that text on the beach came about by some natural means. It's like a whole science can you imagine a whole science being built up around that? Well, that's what evolution is, an idea that is not common sense, and as we've seen for 9 weeks, there is no evidence for the strongest arguments the evolutionists make that supports that. Okay, that's where we left off, I think. Any comments or questions before we move ahead? Okay, let's move ahead. It looks like it was designed. And you know, the reason you think that is because in everything you see that's been created, there's order. There's a function to biological things, or to nature in general, and there's a purpose in what happens within biological things. It's easy to see, especially easy to see nowadays when you can look down with an electronic microscope and see some of the amazing machinery that runs around in your body. Amen. on the microbe level. It's just amazing, and we'll spend some time looking at that later on. But just looking at the outward part of it, order, function, and purpose. Back to our little example here. Why are all these guys looking out from the rock? Why isn't Abraham Lincoln looking back into the rock? Well, that would be foolish, wouldn't it? Now, natural process would have probably had that. Maybe if it could have formed anything like this at all, what's to set these guys up at the same level? I mean, there's order here. It was put in place for a purpose. These guys aren't upside down, some of them, and some of them looking sideways or backwards. They're all looking out. What's the function of Mount Rushmore? What's its purpose?
Mount Rushmore?
Yeah. What's the function of Mount Rushmore? I mean, that's an awful lot of work, guys, to do without having some kind of purpose related to it. What's the purpose of that? Yeah, to lift those particular people up, to honor them and help us remember some of these great presidents. Simple, easy, we know it right off the bat. Evidence that was designed. There's order here. It's a function it carries. There's a purpose that was put in place. Similar to this guy here, this watch. Probably none of us have this watch. We have different watches, if we have watches at all. Some of our watches are just on our phones these days. It doesn't take much time to look at this thing and figure out this thing was intentionally made. It has a tremendous amount of order. In fact, the basic purpose of this thing is to order, to organize and order something. And that's time. And if you'd never seen one of these and you looked at it and you saw those hands moving around, you probably wouldn't know exactly what it was for, but it wouldn't take long for you to figure it out. Because you could see it's here, it's got a function, we have ordered numbers around there, and so common sense is all it takes. You didn't ever have to even seen a watch before to realize this was made intentionally for a purpose, and it's ordered by somebody who designed it. And so as we look at that, getting a little deeper, as we will make, and we'll make some examples and applications here, common sense, it looks like it was designed. There's order, function, and purpose, and complexity. If you were like me when you were a kid, and some of you were, you weren't content just to look at the face of a watch. You had to figure out how it worked. And so something that's already very complex on the surface, once you open it up, I was blown away when I opened my first pocket watch. And you probably ask the question, did you ever get it back together again? Sure I did, but it didn't work after I was done with it. But you open it up and you see it's sophisticatedly a mechanism that moves in a constant, purposeful manner for the purpose, one purpose of keeping time. And it's amazing to look at. You common sense tells you this didn't happen by accident. It didn't fall together in one day or one week or one year or one millennia or many millennias. It was designed and it has complex order and function. Common sense tells us it had to be made. I see a hand maybe trying to go up. Nope, okay. Stop me anytime. Well, let me tell you, the same is true with this. When we look at the human body or any physical thing, that any biological creature, and we see something about it that's common to things that man made, that is, there's tremendous amount of complex order and function that betrays clearly a purpose involved here. You look at this, the body, and you see that it's got a number of systems. We call them systems. Not my word for it. Systems mean that there's things working together to perform a function. Well, there's many of them in our bodies. And it should tell us something about the fact that it couldn't have happened by accident. These systems are in themselves immensely complicated. But not only that, they work together harmoniously to fulfill one purpose, and that is life. And that life in that body, then that body can do work and have a function and a number of other things that we can do in our bodies. So you've got the skeletal system, right? You've got the muscular system, obviously highly integrated with the skeletal system. You've got another system, the circulatory system. Can you do away with that one? No, you can't. And you look at these things and you wonder which one evolved first. Well, what could have evolved, and again, we're looking at what we've already disproved, but no, these have to be together in order to work properly and support life. You've got our nervous system, and then the lymphatic system, which is part of the immune system, okay, which is another complex thing we'll be looking at in just a bit. You've got the digestive system, and you've got the respiratory system. All of these are needed one by another. They work together properly, unless, of course, there's some disease, and that happens. Our scriptures explain the reason disease came into the world was because of sin. Back in the beginning there, we can see that that's what happened. So when these things aren't always going to work perfectly, they were designed to work perfectly and would have worked perfectly if there wasn't a fall. Mike, you had a point? I got Mike up here. Joe, hold on just a second so Matt can get the mic to you.
Oh, yeah. If I remember correctly, when studying the circulatory system, I believe that human beings have small blood vessels called capillaries that actually come in contact with almost every single cell in the human body. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't remember how many cells we have in the body, 1 billion or...
No, there's trillions of cells.
So all these, and there's blood contact where the red blood cells can give oxygen and take away waste and all this thing with every... There is no chance. There isn't one chance in a trillion of that happening accidentally. It's just incredible to me.
Yes. Thank you. Appreciate that. Exactly. And we could spend week after month after year. Obviously, whole sciences are dedicated to each one of these things. And medical degrees are specifically given or made or whatever for each one of these systems and even subsets of these systems. The thing that we're trying to see here is that this is tremendously complex to the order of degrees we can't even imagine. And as we look at some examples here specifically, we're going to see. Couldn't have happened by chance. Had to be designed. Mike.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think is often forgotten is that, you know, first of all, on a molecular scale, we have to have the right elements, physical elements, to constitute these different substances and tissues and vessels and all of this. Mm-hmm. And secondly, each one of these systems comprehends the other. The skeletal system is just right to withstand the force exerted by the muscular system, mm-hmm. which is supported by the circulatory system that, as Mike just indicated, delivers blood to every cell in the body, and the nervous system controls all of those things and their movement.
And what good would it be without a digestive system? How long would it last?
Yeah.
And so what came first, the digestive system or the you know, it's the whole chicken and the egg thing all the way through when you try to think of things coming about by accident naturally.
And so, you know, when we talk about accident, we're not just talking about one thing somehow coming about by a random, random action of, you know, non-sentient or non-conscious processes or whatever, but we're talking about accident upon accident upon accident accident that were done right and
a coordinated way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, common sense says couldn't happen. And God expects us to see that it couldn't happen by accident. This thing had to be designed. This thing is far more complicated than any human mechanism that's been made, any machine that you or I have made. This trumps it so many times over. Okay. Complex order and function and purpose don't happen by accident, like we've been saying. Sir Fred Hoyle, back in the 20th century, one of the world's leading astronomers and mathematicians, once said before the British Academy of Science, it's a big wig when it comes to his field. He said, let's be scientifically honest. As scientists, we all know that the probability of life evolving to greater and greater complexity and organization is the same probability as throwing a 6 on a dice 5 million consecutive times. So throw that dice, go home today, I want to see how many times you can throw a 6 in a row. I don't have a 6 on this dice here, but you get the idea. He says the probability, again, he's worked in the fields of evolution and science and math, throughout his years, and he says, you know, and he's an evolutionist. Now, he's got his own idea how things started here. He doesn't think classical evolution. You need something? Am I need to do something right, Matt? Oh, no, okay, got a point. Okay, sorry, I didn't know why you were coming up there. Thought something was wrong. So he's got his point. Andrew mentioned a few weeks ago a belief of panspermia, which basically he believes that life was sowed here from another galaxy. Pardon me?
Not Andrew.
Oh, wasn't Andrew?
He is
Fred Boyle. Oh, yes. But no, I think you brought up panspermia. No, you don't believe that. Sorry, don't mean that impression. But you mentioned it applied to somebody else. Yeah, you know, you don't believe that. I think you believe what the Bible says about it. So, but you had mentioned that, and this is one of those guys. Because even though he doesn't believe in God, he knows it couldn't happen by Darwinian evolution. That's his belief, anyway, because the chances are impossible 6 million times. I mean, I hope somebody goes home and tries to throw some sixes for a few, and just see how many you get in a row. He's saying 5 million times. Of course, that's a rough estimate. Might be 5,555,000 to one. I don't know. Aunt Lee.
It is far, far lower than it should be.
Okay, that's fine. That's a good point.
Yeah, the article I read when the group got together and tried to calculate the probability of evolution, the number they came up with was something like 1/1 the number of atoms in the universe.
Yeah, yes, yes. Yeah, I read some things like that too, yes.
They considered it had to be impossible.
Right.
But we're here, so it happened.
Yeah, that's exactly the conclusion that's made. Throw common sense out the window that there must be a God that made this and just say it had to come about by chance because we refuse the unscientific alternative of God, which, of course, God is not unscientific at all. He made science, basically, so he's not unscientific. But that's the conclusion they come into. There's strong motives here. motives of morality, motives financially. If you read more about some of the things that happen in some universities and the financial quandaries of those who don't accept evolution and their jobs, they can lose them if you don't buy into this teaching. Okay, thanks, Lee. He goes on. He said, before, let's be scientifically honest. Now he says, let's be intellectually honest. As scientists, we know that the probability of evolving to greater and greater complexity and organization by chance is the same probability as having a tornado tear through a junkyard and form out the other end a Boeing 747. So you got your tornado, you got your junkyard, put those two together, and every time you come out, well, not every time, when are you ever going to come out with a Boeing 747? Are you ever?
No,
it requires engineers like this guy over here. It does. And not just one. Sorry, Lee. Multitudes of engineers and other specific people, very intelligent, who are schooled. Yeah, Mike's got a comment up here, Matt, I think, in just a second. Who are schooled in their fields to come out with things like this. We know that. Common sense tells us that. And of course, this particular man, basically a genius in his field, says this is the kind of chances we're looking at, the odds.
Even if you gave evolutionists an unreasonable chance, let's say that you made a junkyard that only had airplane parts in it, only airplane parts.
Yeah, let's say that, sure.
And you had a million tornadoes go through.
Which is giving a lot more than evolution ever had.
Evolution, they
didn't
start
have any
with that,
parts.
Right? And they it can't be done. And they know it can't be done. They can't replicate it. They have tried to create, I'm going off a memory that's old, but they've tried to just make proteins in the lab, if I remember correctly, by zapping it with all the gases and starting blocks that they say the world had in the beginning, mm-hmm. and zapping it with electricity. I don't know how many millions upon millions of times. They can't even make a protein yet. Anybody know if they... It's so complicated.
We'll look later on at the Miller-Urey experiment that made amino acids, but a protein, I'm not sure about yet. The point is, if they did, what does that prove if they made a protein? That proves it takes intellect to make a protein.
Amen. That's a great point.
You know, that's what it takes. Chance isn't going to happen. And a protein is nothing compared to what we're looking at here. But yeah, I have to look and see if they've actually constructed one. I know that they definitely have altered proteins and genetics, so don't know about that, but okay. Looks like it was designed. There's order, there's function and purpose, and that's why we can make that conclusion. And complexity, that just doesn't happen by accident. And there's information. Information. Just out of Wikipedia, look anywhere you want for a definition of deoxyribonucleic acid. I did it at home. Anyway, DNA. I love that. That's why they have those little short things. Is a nucleic acid that contains the genetic instructions used in the development and functioning of all known living organisms. The main role of DNA molecules is the long-term storage of information, and DNA is often compared to a set of blueprints, since it contains the instructions needed to construct other components of the cell, such as proteins and RNA molecules, and on you could go. Got to have this DNA. Without it, you don't have anything that functions on a molecular level as far as life goes. Okay. The amount of information in one human DNA strand is roughly equivalent to 12 sets of encyclopedias. Now, some of you don't know what encyclopedias are, but oh yeah, most of you do. You're old enough. But that's like 400,000 pages of information. That's a lot. Just in one strand of this DNA. With 50 trillion cells, there you go, in the human body. That's more information than in all the books of all the libraries in the world. With all the cells in our body, it's a tremendous amount of information here. Functional information has a purpose. It's got to be designed. That's an amazing piece of technology. You just got to admit it. All came about by accident? How could it? No, it's amazing. A teaspoon of DNA. That's the small spoon, Mike, in your drawer. The bigger ones are like tablespoons and, you know, for soup. And
make sure
we're on the same page.
The ones I eat cereal on.
That's right, exactly.
Tablespoons.
Just trying to be funny. Okay, a teaspoon of DNA could contain all the information, just a teaspoon, needed to build the proteins of all the species of organisms that have ever lived on the earth, and there would still be enough room left over for all the information in every book ever written. I mean, the tremendous technology here, but at a microscopic level, just blows me away. You know, I mean, it wasn't just till the last century we started to be able to store information in computer chips and things and make it really small. Used to be we had to have books that were, you know, long, lengthy projects. But just a teaspoon of this stuff. Bill Gates, I think most of us know him. DNA is like a computer program, but far, far more advanced than any software we've ever created. And just how much work and intelligence and intention did it take to make the software that Bill Gates has made himself a billionaire on? That's a tremendous amount. Not just his own intelligence, but many, many other people. Yeah, Mike.
Well, since you brought up Bill Gates and since you talked to me, I'm going to make my comment.
Go ahead.
You know, it's not only that there's this volume of information, but there is access to the information that's needed for every function in the human body, because different parts of that information pertains to different aspects of the function of different cells or the structure of different cells. So, I mean, it's not only information, but an information system that is, you know, flawless. Of course, sin entered the world, and as a result, there are some now genetic aberrations that have entered into the whole situation. But it was designed originally to work flawlessly.
Exactly. Yep. Design. Information that was put there by someone, God, who had a purpose for these creatures or for life to exist. Okay. So information has got to be a product of intelligence. Those in construction area in here, there's a few of us, a complex set of blueprints or drawings are needed to properly construct a high-rise building, worked in a number of them, so that it will function as needed. There's a lot of complicated systems in a high-rise building. There really is. And so you've got these set of prints, and there's just a few of them on this picture, but I mean, sometimes those things can be this thick. And those are just the construction. Those aren't the detailed drawings. Those are just the overall drawings. You've got the foundation systems and the framing systems and the finish systems, and you've got plumbing and a very insignificant electrical system. And that was for you, Mike. No, electrical systems are very complicated in a high-rise building. So, I mean, those of us like Mike and my son and others that are in construction who have worked in big buildings know the amount of information that if you didn't have it there, you'd have a mess when you were done. And even sometimes when you have it there, because we're humans, we are faulty, you still have a bit of a mess. It doesn't happen by accident. Information betrays a mind. It shows you, it points toward the fact there's got to be some thought and a mind behind all this. DNA holds the complex information which God has given to instruct living organisms how to behave and reproduce. It's obvious. And evolutions will admit this. They just don't admit the source of that information. And they have no explanation for the source. Back to one of our examples. I love you. It says that. There's some information here. It's a special kind of warm and fuzzy information even. Right? And you look at this as far as just the complexity of, we take for granted, why are those letters all the right side up and not sideways and so on? Because they weren't thrown together by accident. Why are there capital letters there? There's significance in that. There's some depth of function and meaning here that we take for granted. And because of that, we know it didn't happen by chance. There's a message here that conveys a purpose. If whoever wrote this in the sand, and I know you knew that already, if they were sincere, they were trying to convey their love to someone. And that's a marvelous thing. But the point we see is that there's no way something like this, as simple as this here, could happen by chance. I'll tell you who wrote this in just a second, but let's read it. I cannot anyhow be contented to view this wonderful universe and especially the nature of man. I am inclined to look at everything as resulting from designed laws. All these laws may have been expressly designed by an omniscient creator who foresaw every future event and consequence. But the more I think, the more bewildered I become. Charles Darwin. That's Darwin. He's the one who came up, made the theory of evolution popular. We all know that. He struggled with the fact that this is what he really thought was the way things came to being, but he was trying to make a point for some other system. But he was totally befuddled at times. More bewildered I become the more I think about it. And there's a reason for it, because everything he was doing and writing about flew against all common sense that he had about how things came into existence. Life just couldn't have happened by accident. That's what he was struggling with. Mike.
I find that quote particularly revealing. The last sentence reveals Darwin's whole problem.
Okay.
The more I think,
the more bewildered I become.
There is such a thing as overthinking.
There is. It can be, there is, and it can get you in all sorts of weird different directions. Much better to accept this particular, where it happened here, explanation. Psalm 139:14. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. We can see it. It's not difficult. It's obvious. God made it so clear that this universe, this world, all the life in this world didn't happen by chance. There's no way it could. Don't even begin to go down that path. But if you do, make sure you look at both sides, and I think you'll see very clearly that this is the answer. God made us. not we ourselves, or an accident. Didn't happen. Let's just really quickly look at overview of what our body is like. It's a marvelous machine. It's precise. It's efficient. All the things you would expect from a great engineer. That's the kind of thing you'd expect to see. Dynamic framework of bone and cartilage with hinges and joints that were made to move. It lubricates itself by manufacturing a jelly-like substance in the right amount at every place it is needed. Hey, Sam, wouldn't it be great if hinges on the doors that we installed in a bunch of high-rises would lubricate themselves? Not sorry. Once we put a door in, here comes a whole maintenance crew that comes along and lubricates everything. God built it in to this particular mechanism, this wonderful machine, this organic machine, has a chemical plant far more intricate than any plant that man has ever built. And we built a pretty few nice ones. It changes the food we eat into living tissue. It causes the growth of flesh and blood and bones and teeth and many more intricate parts of our body. It has an automatic thermostat that takes care of both our heating and cooling systems, keeps that temperature at 98.6. Or about that. Its computer system controls, and that's our brain, of course, more than 10 to the 24 bits of data every day, a million times more than is contained in all the world's libraries. Every day, that's how much information goes through this particular organ up here. It has a one quadrillion circuits, as much as 12,500 personal computers, which is quite a bit of circuits, if you've ever been into a computer. And unlike any other computer, it's conscious. It cares, it hopes, it fears, and it chooses. And let me tell you, that's one of the biggest mysteries that evolutionists have ever been trying to tackle. How do you get consciousness out of matter? Thing is, you don't. God created us the way we are. Other marvelously sophisticated instruments allow us to see and to hear and to feel and to taste and to smell. None of man's most carefully designed machines can come close to it. I'm going to look here at the eye. Unless there's a comment or a question, we're going to look at a few things. We'll look at a few different parts of the body and see how amazingly intricate they are and couldn't have been a product of chance. There it is. lot nicer looking than my eye. Anyway, our eyes, they're amazing. And most of us have seen these kinds of drawings where we look at the eye and what it's made of. Tremendously complex organism. We can only touch on it right here. You've got a cornea that basically allows so much light, and you've got a lens that without it, you wouldn't see anything clearly. You've got a retina that receives images on its surface, and all that would be for nothing. If that all evolved, which it couldn't have, but if it did, it wouldn't make any difference because it wouldn't be useful. Because where's the optic nerve? You have to have an optic nerve that had to somehow evolve. And if that evolved later, what good is an eye? Natural selection wouldn't preserve these other little intricate mutations for something that wasn't even connected to the brain. So that's a problem we have here. These things are so complicated, and we're going to make a point of this later, that they're so complex and so many parts that you couldn't have them by a step-by-step individual process that evolution claims to have. You've got to have them being made all at once to be useful, to actually work. What good is the lens for focusing without a retina? So you evolve a lens over so many million years. What good is it? You don't even have a retina yet. You know, that's got another so many hundreds of thousands or million years that it has to evolve. These are some questions we really have to ask. What good is a retina without an optic nerve to transfer the images, information to the brain? None of these parts could do anything without the presence of the others. That's a huge quandary for evolutionary science. Because remember, all those changes that supposedly happen are all accidents. And natural selection, in order to preserve a change back there that's a mutation, natural selection have to give it some benefit. But if it's not beneficial yet, it's not going to preserve it. It's just going to go on like it was. So how do you evolve all these little things and all of a sudden? It doesn't look ahead and say, I want to make an eye. Accidental processes don't do that. There's no end goal thinking here as far as evolution. Only a designer could make something like this, who's a tremendous biological engineer, and God, of course, is that biological engineer. For an eye to work, it has to be able to send the images to a brain that is capable of accurately interpreting the signals so as to form an image in the mind. And we take it for granted. We just live with it every day. We wake up and open our eyes and a little bit blurry at first thing, but then we watch the sleep out and we see everything. And we should be giving thanks all the time. Thank you for our eyes. What amazing things they are that allow us to look out here and see all these things. And it's amazing to see that. It's amazing to have that. It's an obvious case of complex design and engineering. There are over 60 million cone and rod cells in the retina of the eye. 10 billion calculations occur every second in the retina before the image even gets to the brain. So, I mean, here the actual retina is doing computations before the brain ever gets it. It was built that way. 1 second of computations of even a single nerve cell from the retina would require the solution of about 500,000 simultaneous non-linear differential equations. Each cell. If you want to know what a differential equation is, ask that guy over there. I'm a little rusty on it from my physics classes in school. It's complicated. That's the thing we're trying to see. You're not supposed to remember all this information. You're just supposed to see that just how we're touching on it. It's so complicated and amazingly, wonderfully, just fantastic the way this works. Let me finish up just a little bit here, Mike. Something you may have never heard of is absolutely necessary for the eye. It's called ocular microtremor. You could not see without these amazing circular tremors that happens 50 times a second in your eye. I never knew that happened. Your eye actually, it tremors, I guess. All these tremors only move the eye less than a 70th of a thickness of a sheet of paper. Without them, your vision would blur every time you tried to focus on an object. That's how the way God made the eye. I don't know why he needed to make it that way, but he did. And it just tells us that this system couldn't happen even on its own by accident to produce the effect that it was needed. To suppose that the eye, with all its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical chromatic aberration could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree. Charles Darwin. Boy, you know, he was his own greatest critic. He was always saying, you know, I don't think this would ever work. But let's press on. You know, basically kind of a thing, you know. So, hey, Mike, go ahead.
I was just going to mention that it's just recently, you know, that autofocus has been part of cameras for some time.
Sure.
But they've had one of the problems is that autofocus doesn't know what to focus on. You know, so if a blade of grass, you know, passes in front of the subject that you're trying to focus on, it'll focus on the blade of grass. And then it starts searching again for the subject. Just recently, in some cameras, they have what are called, face recognition. So basically, there's an algorithm in the camera that recognizes that two eyes, a nose, and a mouth is a face, and that's mm-hmm. where you want to focus mm-hmm. on. But this is all things that are going on in the brain as well as in the eye
right.
that we, you know, learned from a very early age, and it's all part of the makeup of this incredible system.
Just remember, every time we have something that we can make, humans or, you know, engineers in our day, to copy what the human body does. It's a tremendous amount of intellect that takes, and research and development, all these things that, like Mikey's talking about, the camera and what it can do. And so to assume that what it's copying is something that just came about by accident is just tremendously, you know, a ridiculous judgment, as far as I'm concerned. Next week, you thought the eye was complicated, and it is. The ear, it's amazing how it works. Not as simple as you might think. Not just like banging on a drum and the old brain hears it. It's really amazing. And again, we're looking at the sophisticated things in our world that show beyond a doubt that God is its maker. There's no other rational, sensible choice than that. Thank you for your presence and your participation this morning. Let's take a break for 10 minutes and we'll be back. Thank you.